This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And can you believe it? It's already September 2nd. We're in a brand new month. What?
Well, as of September 1st, fall has begun. I mean,
From, it's like a switch.
Yeah, a very nice weekend, a nice Monday, and then all of a sudden yesterday, you know, 65 degrees and cloudy, and then rain today and rain in the forecast.
You've had enough of that summer. You're done now. You're done. We're moving on. But because it is the beginning of a new month, we want to welcome back to the studio Jane Lowry and Daly Howard from Willamette Valley Bank, who partner with us on our community events calendar. Welcome, ladies. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
So I know that there is tons of stuff going on because it's not officially fall. We got a couple more weeks till it's officially fall. But for all intents and purposes, it's fall. So tell us about what is going on, what things we should get on our calendars.
All right. Well, first of all, Denise, I would like to say thank you to everybody that showed up for the concert series this summer. And particularly this last weekend, the JFK show, we figured we had over 1,100 people at that show. It was crazy. Ooh. The community was together. The energy was amazing. It was a really very fun night. So thanks to everybody that showed up, people that donated to the Play It Forward program from Uptown Music. We made a good chunk of money for them. So it was really, really rewarding. It was a real fun night.
Nice.
The weather held out.
What a nice... I was just going to say, what a cool way to kind of say, all right, say, you know, thanks, summer.
Yeah.
Loved ya.
One of the things that I'd like to talk about, I'm on the board for the Kaiser Public Safety Foundation, and we're going to have our first ever breakfast on September 11th. The doors open at 6:30 and the program starts at 7 to 8. And then following after that over at the Elks, they do a presentation for 9/11. So it's open. It's a free breakfast for people that want to come, or we also have sponsorship opportunities. So I wanted to plug that. And we're very excited about this. And this is an opportunity for things that the fire and the police department can't get through like tax money. So they have a couple asking for different things that they need for, I call them their outfits, but I'd probably get in trouble, but for their uniforms, something from the fire department and the police department. And then also one of the things we're proud to be a sponsor on September 25th for Soaring Heights Recovery. They have a big fundraiser dinner. And so we are a sponsor for one of the tables there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. And then we're also having a lot of fairs, festivals, and First Fridays, and fraud awareness all in September. So I'm going to go through a little bit of what's going on. What we have to look forward to this month. And as I maybe have mentioned already, but the Oregon State Fair is continuing until the next week till the 7th.
Yep.
And then we have our First Friday Art Walks in Silverton and in downtown Salem. And that's this Friday, the 4th. We have the Sublimity Harvest Fest and Tractor Pull. Those are really a blast. And the Salem Art Fair and Festival down at Bush Pasture Park starts on September 11th and goes through the 13th. Always a great event there. Lots of vendors, great art, all sorts of things to look forward to. And then also on the 11th is Turner Night Market. I don't know if you guys have been out there. It's a great, they have food trucks, music.
Oh, cool.
A bunch of different vendors there. It's a great small community event and a lot of people show up to that. And it's a great time. So put that on your calendar to check that out as they only have a couple night out markets going on, I think September, and then October is their last one for that. And then out in Mount Angel, big event.
I don't know
if you've heard of this. Oktoberfest begins September 17th and it goes through the 20th. And so get your lederhosen out for that and good music and beers.
Okay. I know Hunter has some. Hunter has some lederhosen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Stashed away. My once a year outfit.
Perfect. And then we have our Saturday market still going out in our communities down in Silverton, Salem, Woodburn, Independence, Dallas, and Albany. So if you're in those communities, be sure to check out those Saturday markets. We have a couple more months till they go away for the season. So they're always a fun time to check out fresh produce, flowers, and vendors. So yeah, that's what September brings. And also, we are hosting a fraud awareness bingo at the Silverton 50 Plus Center on September 17th at 11 a.m. And so we're going to do it's fraud bingo. So a good time with bingo and learning all the red flags of fraud. So, and that's a free event.
That's a new twist on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Prizes, snacks, all the things. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's definitely a crowd for that one right there.
I'm in my bingo era, so bingo is in the name. I'm there. Yes,
it's a really fun way.
It's real fun.
It is fun. Easy,
it's fun with friends. And if you do it at like a winery, it's even more fun.
Hey, she's giving us ideas.
That's nice. So again, as always, we update our calendar. Daily has been great about getting all that stuff to us so that we can update you, and you can go to kycan.com and check it out. Anything else you want to let us know?
No, not for September.
That's a lot. But yep. It sounds like the summer was really successful, Jane. I mean, the concert series was well attended.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. The people that came out for the concert series. So really, you know, shout out to Uptown Music and Valor Mentoring for putting it on, and the city for helping sponsor. And of course, I'll give us a plug on Willamette Valley Bank for sponsoring too. It wouldn't happen with all the sponsors, so we really appreciate it. And Valor Mentoring has worked very hard. And also AJ's Hideaway. Lewis has been out there helping with that piece of it. So
nice, nice. Well, yeah. Kaiser's always great. Volunteerism. I mean, it's a volunteer city. It's what you guys do.
So
all right. Well, again, we are talking with Jane and Daly from Willamette Valley Bank, and everything will be updated on the calendar. Ladies, it's always great to see you. Thanks for the great information.
Thanks, Denise.
Thanks,
Sue. All right, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering.
All righty. Again, everything that that Jane and Daly talked about will be up on KYKN probably later today, if not first thing in the morning tomorrow when we get that up.
Well, and I sit here and go, if some of these things going on, everybody in the state kind of knows about it, like that state fair thing. And
right.
We were joking that now that the state fair is here, here comes the rain. Because
I don't remember a year when we didn't have rain for the state fair.
Isn't that tradition? Come on.
I think it is. It is. It's totally tradition. Mm-hmm. And then I'm glad they mentioned the Saturday market's still going on. Those are always great. God, that's been going on. I used to sell it there. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of stained glass work and stuff. I remember when it first started, my mom and I had a booth there, and we sold stained glass stepping stones, and I did a lot of artwork, and it was so much fun. I love those Saturday markets.
Well, yeah, they are where you kind of get some of that best produce and other things.
Yes.
Because I'm kind of going, you can go to the grocery store, but this direct-to-farm mentality at these farmers markets makes a lot more sense, and there's a lot more flavor.
They're totally. And what another thing I'm finding and that I'm like hooked on now is a lot of like home bakers are bringing their homemade sourdough. A couple weeks ago, I had blueberry lemon scones fresh from the farmer. I mean, oh my. So,
well, if only you had, a blueberry popsicle.
I know. It's National Blueberry Popsicle. Nice segue there. I see what you did there. Wink, wink. It's like, ew. I like blueberries, but a blueberry popsicle. It is also World Coconut Day, and that the coconut is a very versatile. It's a fruit, right? Coconut's a nut.
Yeah, well, it's one of those ones. It's like
somebody will tell us.
It's like
guys,
a potato. Everyone categorizes according to their own truth, right?
Right. My truth is that it's a nut. Okay. That's my truth. Okay. Also, on a more serious note, it is VJ, Victory Over Japan Day, 1945. They surrendered, basically ending World War II. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yep. And of course, what might turn out, long term to be one of those days in 1963 that we look back on and go, was this a good thing or a bad thing? CBS expands the nightly news from 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, and then fast forward, 20-some years, and CNN made it go 24/7. That, I think, is the worst thing than going from 15 to 30. I do want to mention, too, that Japan did surrender on the USS Missouri. And a little personal story, way back in the day, I had won a trip to Hawaii from a One of our competitors.
It was a random phone call you made. We'll put it that way.
No, I actually had to do a cute little poem and I won. And anyway, but I got to go on the USS Missouri where they signed the treaty just before they closed everything off the innards of the ship off to the public. So that was very cool. It was just something pretty amazing to be able to do. Also on this day, the first ATM in 1969. I did not know that they'd been around that long. It was at Chemical Bank in Rockville, New York.
Interesting. Are you sure it wasn't? Well, sure it wasn't somebody kind of behind the screen just sticking things
handing
out
you some money. Yeah, don't look for the little fingers in the gloves. Well,
that's
right. That's all around.
And of course, 1970, NASA pulls the plug on the moon missions.
We need to wait. Well, now we're going to Mars.
Well, that only set us back 50, 60 years.
On 78, Greece. My Frankie Valli hits number one, and Grease was such a phenomenon. I still love that movie.
And in 1992, the United States of America and Russia agreed to build a space station together.
Wow, that's very cool. In 95, of course, Michael Jackson earns his first number one with You Are Not Alone. I actually don't really remember that song.
Yeah.
Kind of do. Well, I just remember 1983 when Thriller came out. I mean,
That was his final number one, not his first.
I missed the final. Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's odd when you say 1995 is first and then you go back to 1983. Come on.
Okay. Sorry. And
of course, in 2013, Diana Nyad swims from Cuba to Florida without a shark cage.
There's actually a movie. Jodie Foster's in this movie. It was actually pretty amazing feat, this woman. And she was not a young woman when she did this. So that is pretty amazing. So, yeah, lots of cool stuff happening on this day. This is another story that I found. And I thought this was, it kind of came out of nowhere. Have you heard of IP19?
No.
Initiative Petition 19.
I have not, but it sounds like something I could get behind.
Well, and it's surprising because Oregon doesn't already do this. I know in California, I remember I'd gone down there for something and I'm like, wait, you mean I can buy Long Island iced teas at the Piggly Wiggly? That's not in California. Ralph's or whatever is down there. Basically, this would eligible retailers and wholesalers may be licensed to sell distilled liquor and retailers taxed on sales. So this is a thing. I mean, I'm not opposed to this, I guess, selling it in grocery stores.
Well, and to me, you know, years ago, I was down in Arizona for some stuff and they sold it in the grocery store. And it was kind of a little bit of a culture shock because Washington and Oregon both sell it out of state run liquor stores. And I go, but it makes a whole lot of sense. It makes it one more convenient because right now, if I want to go to the liquor store, I got to make a special trip.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, the tax dollars are still there. Everything really remains the same, but you don't have the overhead of operating a building for the state.
Right. Well, I grew up in New Hampshire. I left before I was old enough to drink. I'd gone back and visited, but New Hampshire has state-run liquor stores. I was in Massachusetts at the beginning of the summer, and you can't even buy beer and wine in Massachusetts. You have to go to what's called a package store, the Packy. So it's a separate store to even get beer and wine. So every state's, I guess, a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Oregon, of course, you can get beer and wine at the grocery store, but you do have to go to a liquor store to get the hard stuff.
I spent some time visiting family in Arkansas. And
how do they do it in Arkansas?
Well, so we were in what they call a dry county. So on Sunday, you could not buy beer or alcohol, period, end of story. If you wanted anything on a Sunday, you had to go across the border to Missouri.
isn't Utah that way, too? I remember being somewhere where we had to do the same thing.
Yeah. Usually at that point, it's a county by county kind of a thing. So I would suspect that a lot of the bigger cities in states that have that tend to not observe, you know, no drinking on the Sabbath.
Okay. Well, I remember blue laws. Do you remember blue laws?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Probably not old enough. I was living in New Jersey at the time, and New Jersey back then had a blue law, which means really you couldn't do any business on Sunday. Pretty much everything was closed. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of like that because I worked in retail at the time, so at least I always knew I got Sunday off.
Well, I go back 20 or so years ago, and you go into some smaller communities around Oregon, and Sunday, it's like, am I the only one still alive here? Did I wake up to the apocalypse? Because
you're the last man.
After church and brunch, there's nobody out and about.
That's a lot of small towns, mm-hmm. yeah, that are still like that. And that's not bad. Back to this petition, though. I wonder, I think OLCC might have something to say about this.
Well, so, you know, here's the trick. And, you know, besides some higher-ups at the OLCC that have taken advantage of policies, as we reported on in years past, the other thing is it gives virtually the state's 100% profit and 100% control. Granted, anybody that's gone out and bought even beer lately, the price of alcohol is going up exponentially right now. Yeah. So I'm kind of going, bringing this into the liquor stores would make a lot of sense in terms of it might actually create an uptick of sale. It will actually create a little bit of, competition. And hopefully, because, you know, the state makes a lot of tax money off of liquor sales.
Right, right.
So I'm kind of going, it makes a whole lot of sense in a lot of ways, but it means the government giving up a little control, which, right. Will they do that in Oregon? I doubt it.
I doubt it. Because, again, I don't really have any problem with this. And then they always talk about how, like, Gen Z is not drinking as much. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're smoking more weed. I know those baby boomers, they're smoking a lot more weed. Maybe they'll go back to, you know, putting down Manhattans.
Well, but I think there's two aspects of that. One is, like I said, the price of alcohol is getting more and more expensive. I mean, when you're going and buying a case of beer, and you're paying $25 to $30.
What?
Yeah.
For a case of beer?
Yeah. And this is not, it's not expensive beer either. It's not, you know, the local Deschutes brewery stuff. We're talking, you know, basic beer.
Not a microbrew or exactly. A craft brew.
But the price of pot seems to have gone very much down since state took control of it. I made the comment the other day, seeing a billboard around town for $5 joints. I said, you know, wow, it's, you know, gotten, that's the only thing in the world that's gone down in price over the last 30 years.
I think that's because there's a pot store on every corner in Salem. I mean, everywhere you go, there's a pot store.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's a popular thing, I suppose. It's all about supporting schools with taxes, right?
Right. Didn't Washington maybe 10 years ago do something similar to this? And it supposedly was going to make the alcohol cheaper. Mm-hmm. And then I remember now it's made it so much more because of the taxing structure on it that yeah. Half the time you've got Washington people calling their Oregon friends, having them be their booze mules to bring up, you know, a little less expensive Oregon booze up to Washington.
Well, it's the Pacific Northwest. If you have the connections, see if they can bring you beer from Idaho or alcohol from, you know, Arizona or, I mean, import it if you have the opportunity. Find that friend that takes long road trips and just
see that. Wasn't that the whole premise of Smokey and the Bandit? Was because you couldn't take Coors Light over state lines, or remember? Right. And there was a whole movie about you can't get Coors, not Coors Light. Sorry, it would have been just Coors. Yeah. It's the water. Well, I don't know. I think this is kind of a good idea. I'm looking at this thread that's talking about it. Most people think it's fine because, again, a lot of other states do it. But if they roll it out the way Washington did, it's probably not going to be any cheaper.
Well, and that's the thing is gas, you know, convenience of it, and the ability for people to just go and do their shopping in one place. We've created these giant big box stores where you can buy every little thing in the world except liquor.
Right.
And it's kind of like, why not? Why not just say, do this? But we all know it's the government control of it. And some of these people might not have access to their high-end, you know, rare booze bottles if they have to do it through, Walmart and Safeway.
It takes all the, I don't know, the cachet out of it. Because, you know, like Costco, you know, Kirkland's got a vodka brand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It was a little jarring at first because literally I was in Arizona. I was in my mid-20s and I'm just walking down these aisles of liquor bottles like, wow, they're not even carting me to go into the section. There were a few that were in some, you know, glass cases where you had to, they sold Everclear.
Oh, gosh.
But it was in the case Everclear. In there. And I'm just kind of going, you could literally get anything in the grocery stores. A few you did have to ask for, the high dollar stuff and stuff. But otherwise, it's right there.
It's interesting if this does go through and you've got this, we have a far lower trust society than we did 20 years ago, where a lot of that probably you would think if that's in the grocery store, the theft on that. Oh, my gosh.
I can guarantee in a state like Oregon or Washington or California, where you can seal up to $1,000 worth of things, they will all be behind glass cases at the grocery store. So, you know, it might lessen the convenience factor, I guess,
when you think that way. Yeah, go to a separate store where you have it all behind cases and you got to have some clerk come and get you your, you know, your, I don't know, whatever brand of vodka, especially if you're into like the cheap stuff. Yeah, I'll take the one that's on the bottom shelf. There's a big jumbo 5-gallon bottle.
I want it plastic in case I drop it, you know?
Right, exactly, exactly. I think it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that'll make it easier, better or not. I don't know.
I'll grab some box wine in Boone Farms for the wife. Come on.
Hey, no, don't be, there's some good box wines out there. Don't be dissing on, and don't be dissing on screw tops anymore, because my understanding is that screw tops on wine are actually a better way to keep it fresher. But you've got to get past the mentality of like, that's like a fortified wine there. No, there's a lot of high-end wines that are screw top. So you're a wine snob, Hunter.
The world is a-changing.
Well, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. Again, with OLCC, I don't know. I think a lot of voters, though, would probably go for it. I know if it was on the ballot, I'd probably vote for it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I could see it, but at the same time, I would suspect that the state of Oregon may put a few roadblocks in the way, you know, as we've seen them do, because it's not something that they're really gung-ho about, because they like the control. Right. They like the ability to determine, you know, the hours and everything else. And, you know, because government loves to dictate a little bit of things in our lives.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Well, if you don't like this, there is still a time. You can appeal it. You have till September 15th to appeal it. Again, it's IP19. The more you know.
Weird how we don't hear about things like this as common talking points.
I know. I know. All right. We're up on the bottom of the hour news. We will see you on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this, rainy pre-fall.
It's a pre-fall.
Pre-fall, September 2nd. Yeah, if you read the book, Atlas Shrugged, September 2nd, in the sky. Well, it is also really kind of soft rolling into, because once Labor Day when we get through that next week, basically a week from today, that's when campaign season really kicks off and it gets going. Mm-hmm. The Kotek campaign's right now, Oregon.com headline, pitches the first term record on housing costs, public safety, and draws broad labor and Democratic support. Not surprised, broad labor and Democrat backing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of money flowing into this campaign. I think it's like 5-1, I think.
Yeah.
Between her and Drazen.
Yeah. Labor Party and the Democrat backing. And I'm kind
of. And the working families and the progressives.
And I just sit here and go, so pretty much everyone we expect that was going to back Kotek.
Yeah.
And is on the dole is backing Kotek and still on the dole.
yep. But there's a lot of money flowing through there. So, yes, the governor has a record. She's been in Oregon politics for a very, very long time and been behind the worst stuff that's happened. Affordability in housing. I don't know. I wouldn't say it's very affordable in Oregon for housing. I don't know that there's surplus of housing. Obviously, supply and demand, it's very, very high because there's not a lot of it. Except for the people that are leaving.
Well, I just sit here and I go, the three things, housing costs and public safety. I sit here and go, if she's going to tout those things, she's got to be touting on the simple fact that she has been governor since 2022. Mm-hmm. And all of those things were disasters prior to that and naturally have rebounded a little bit because of what is it, that thing that happened in 2020? I forget. Oh, COVID. You know, we talked to Amy, the housing market. There is more housing available now than there ever was before. Okay, good thing. Costs. Well, costs varied massively over the last 6 years. They skyrocketed under Biden. They've gotten better under Trump. They're not where we want them to be, especially here in Oregon, but they're a little better. And then public safety. Guess what? We had a massive campaign prior to her being governor of defund the police.
Right. Reimagine.
So all you need to do is shut your mouth and let police start building these forces back up a little bit. And now you can say public safety. The other thing is with public safety, they utilize stats. And they utilize stats that are very easy to, it's like the unemployment numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the unemployment numbers are high, but what about all these people that aren't even looking for work? It's the same way with the public safety stats of, well, our you know, break-ins are down. Well, yeah, people are reporting them less, you know, assaults, drug use, all these other things. People are reporting them less. Why? Because Portland police can take 45 minutes to get to a possible child abduction. I mean, that's why people are not even reporting petty crimes. So, of course, our public safety numbers look better.
Yeah, and you have to dig a little bit further to realize that. The other big one is she declared a homelessness state of emergency when she entered office in 2023. That has not gotten better at all. In fact, that has gotten worse. And the more money that's thrown at housing first models and all this rigmarole, the worse and worse it gets.
Why is it when politicians declare an emergency or a war on yada, yada, the situations get worse?
Right. Remember that war on poverty? Well, mm-hmm. First of all, poverty will never go away. Well, but basically, poverty is like the base set. Mm-hmm. Anything else is, you know, a blessing and everything that comes out. The war on poverty, the war on drugs. How'd the war on drugs go?
Well, we finally gave up and said marijuana is legal. And in Oregon, yeah, we went full on give up. Everything is legal.
We gave up. Then, of course, you've got education. Education has gotten exponentially worse in Oregon. I mean, the ranking in basically a decade has just tanked. Graduation standards have been like, standards. We don't need no stinking standards.
Well, her homeless emergency. In 4 years, our homeless population has grown. Usually, if there's an emergency, you try and make things better.
Right. Well, I hope have they declared a war on. Well, maybe they have declared a war on education. I don't know, because that's not getting any better.
Well, the war on education, it's kind of guerrilla warfare. It's kind of under, it's hiding out and just kind of gently attacking in ways we don't recognize.
Oh, I see. On the economy and labor and clean technology, I mean, again, you've got businesses publicly stating that they are leaving because it is unfriendly to businesses. For a long time, Oregon was the Silicon Forest. I mean, I remember Siltech Silicon, Mitsubishi, Panasonic. There were all these companies that were coming up here, which were very well-paying, professional-level jobs. I don't know that. Is Intel? I think Intel was even making noises. Mm-hmm. If they haven't already done so, they've really kind of jettisoned a lot of whatever they were doing in Oregon. So that's not really getting better. So you're looking at a lot of spin. And frankly, I wouldn't put clean technology, solar technology, and wind projects. No.
Oh, no. Solar and wind projects.
I know.
If you want to do something like that in your house, more power to you. But to think that we can replace coal or hydroelectric or anything else with those two alternatives, there's a reason that we went away from those. You know, windmills have been around for what? Generations? Yeah. Hundreds of years?
Oh, and for a long time, we sailed the ocean blue with sails.
That's wind.
Plus, I'm sorry, I do a lot of driving along I-84. Those things are a blight. I can't stand those windmill things. Mm-hmm. Then if you ever drive beside just one of the blades, and then let's not even talk about what you do when you dispose of them or the oil changes. Yeah, oil that these things have to go through. So all of it's bunk. I think even Michael Moore did a movie on how ungreen that green energy really is. I could be wrong, but I think I remember even saying the disposal and everything that goes into it, it's kind of a boondoggle.
Yeah.
And also climate, energy, and wildfires. Well, we have regular wildfire seasons where we got hundreds of thousands of acres burning up. Not much is working there.
Well, and when you talk about climate, you know, more pollutants go into the air from these wildfires than, virtually a year of stop-and-go Portland traffic. So, do they really care about the environment, or do they just want people to, give in, hand them their money, and be miserable
and uncomfortable and poor?
Mm-hmm.
I think that we want you miserable, uncomfortable, and poor. We want you too hot in the summer and too cold in the winter. That's the way we like it. And of course, abortion, elections, opposition to Trump. That's really that's the big three. Especially, I mean, they ran on abortion every year. I've seen some ads. I don't see a lot of ads where they're really trying to tie Christine Drazen to MAGA. You can't. She's not a Donald. She's not.
No. Well, I mean,
she's a Republican.
There is some groups. I don't know if they're directly affiliated with the Kotech campaign or not. They're trying to literally say she's MAGA, and that's why, you know, we're fighting Donald Trump. But yeah, those are the things that I'm sitting here going, the abortion issue. Christine Drazen has everybody sitting there and say, you can vote me governor, and it's not going to change how abortion is in the state of Oregon.
Right.
You know, when it comes to the MAGA thing, it's like, I'm not MAGA. I'm a Republican, yes, mm-hmm. but I'm here in Oregon. And MAGA is not infiltrated Oregon politics. I'm a Republican. I have a different view. Try something different.
Yeah. And then the Drazen campaign is bringing out, you know, a pretty solid plan on what they want to do, while you've got Kotek highlighting Oregon's stockpile of abortion medicine, abortion drugs, abortifacients, and then legislation legalizing protections around abortion clinics and expanded privacy and legal protections for reproductive health, throwing up air quotes because that is such a ridiculous euphemism, providers and patients. She's also joined Washington, California, and Hawaii in forming the West Coast Health Alliance, which should send shivers down your spine, following, again, disputes with the federal government over vaccines and public health policies. So, yeah, Trump, we're against Trump.
Does she not know that when you kill the baby in the womb, then you are not reproducing?
Yeah. And you're giving birth, but you're just giving birth to a dead baby. It's vile. Mm-hmm. It's truly vile. But you're right. Governor Drazen, nothing will change with all of that. But that is what they go back to every cycle, to put the fear, to put the fear, to put the fear. It's always about fear. So anyway, she's promoting statewide outreach. The other thing I'm looking at, too, is the endorsements, which you talked about at the top of it. The usual suspects: SEIU, AFSCME, Oregon Nurses Association, Oregon School Employees, AFL-CIO, United Food and Commercial Workers, Oregon State Building and Construction Trades Council. That one's a little, huh. I'm surprised at that one.
I would wish.
I shouldn't be, but I kind of am.
That these people that are working, whether it's through a union or any of these businesses that are endorsing her, that are centered around labor.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here going, the workers need to step up to their leadership.
They do.
And say, we don't want this. Because whether I'm union or not, her model for Oregon, it's going down the tube. We're not building. She's making it possible for union workers to do anything but a government contract at this point. And I'm just sitting here going, maybe if for your long-term benefit for the next generation of union, you know, workers, you would sit here and say, maybe we need a little bit something different that's more business friendly.
We saw that at the federal level. Was it the Teamsters? I forget the guy's name. He even went to the convention and they came out because the rank and file was like, we're not doing this. But yeah, I'm looking at, again, and you've got carpenters and laborers and transit unions. And of course, you've got the social. Remember Jane Fonda Climate Pack? That was a big one. Of course, Planned Parenthood, Basic Rights Oregon, Human Rights Campaign Pact, LBGTQ Plus Victory Fund, Giffords Pack, which is Gabby Giffords, Emily's List, Early Money is Like Yeast, and Citizens United, Latino Network, Picoon, blah, blah, blah. The Demanding Moms. She's got the Demanding Moms.
Oh, well.
No surprise there.
We should all listen to them because, you know.
The Demanding Moms and their red t-shirts.
Well, here's the problem is their ranks have got to be dwindling massively with the love of abortion in this state. Because you abort them, you're no longer mom. So how do they keep recruiting people when their home clientele is willing to kill babies left and right? Questions.
I wonder if they're changing between their red shirts and now they're putting on pink shirts. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. Because we're not talking about that. And she's got the usual suspects of Wyden, Merkley, Bonamici, Bynum, Dexter, Hoyle, and Andrea Salinas. So no surprises there. So the thing is all this is out there. And again, she has a record. So she is putting this out there. You really should go out there and look at her record. If you live in Oregon, you know what that record is, because if you are a normal human being, things haven't gotten really much better under her tenure.
Well, if you don't want to take the time to go look at her record, look at things around you and go, you know, everything that's going downhill in Oregon is not because of the federal government. It's because of Tina Kotek and her history and her record here. Her record is your day-to-day life, what you're paying gas. And to sit here and say, oh, it's the war, you know, in the Strait of Hormuz and everything else. I'm sitting there going, but look, you can go to the gas tank and you can look and say, federal taxes, 18 cents. Oregon taxes, 40 cents. What's bigger?
Right. So the message she's putting out there is judge her by results and policies from her first term. And I would say your terms are acceptable. We should all do that. Yes.
Yeah. Question yourself, is my life better today than it was four years ago?
Exactly. And that is the question. All right, let's take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, I saw this headline and I thought, wait, didn't we already do this? Capital Chronicle, Oregon to launch new Explore Health state health insurance marketplace in coming months. I thought that was Cover Oregon 10 years ago. Apparently, no, we're doing something different now, and I'm sure it'll be better.
Well, my guess is they're going to take what they have in place, they'll expand it, get a little more taxpayer money, make things a little more inconvenient for the consumers, and a little less lucrative in terms of getting to see your doctors and then sit there and say, look at us, we're taking care of everybody.
We're helping. So this is exploreoregon.gov. First of all, you know, full disclosure here, I had to use, because I am, you know, I have get health insurance, had to go out on those marketplaces.
Ooh.
Yeah, I pay a lot of money for pretty crummy insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that. I'm not going to go into any more detail about who the company is, whatever, but I pay a lot of money. In fact, it's coming out of everything in about 3 days, and I'll get to see that lovely amount again and go every time I see it. So this will replace this exploreoregon.gov will replace the federally managed healthcare.gov. And I honestly thought Cover Oregon, remember that silly little song? And yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're saying it will give Oregon more flexibility to design a marketplace experience around the needs of our diverse communities and respond to local data feedback and changes in federal policy. Somebody named Cheeky? That's a cute name. Anyway, I'll find somebody named Cheeky doing my healthcare stuff. But okay, here it is too in the story. This isn't the first time that Oregon has tried it. Shortly after opening in 2013, Cover Oregon. But remember Cover Oregon when they rolled it out? I think the website crashed and it was just, it was kind of a pile of poo.
Yeah, and I think very few people got actually registered. Didn't they spend a crap ton of money to create a mascot and
a little clever little song with a little girl and the guitar and... Mm-hmm.
And your premium.
So in 2015, they scrapped it. Mm-hmm. So they made everybody go to the state-run website. Again, Obamacare was the worst thing to happen to healthcare of ever. And anyone who would, you know, was out there that had basically two brain cells to rub together knew that this was going to go bad, knew exactly what the game plan was. Let's bring this in here. You can keep your doctor if you like your doctor. It was an absolute lie. All that stuff was lie. Saving $2,500 a month or whatever. I mean, all the stuff that Obama put out there was an absolute lie. It has destroyed what was once, back in the day before it all came in, I think you and I both had very good health insurance for low premiums, excellent coverage, got a great doctor, was always able to see my doctor. Now, none of that. None.
Yeah. Well, it did exactly as they designed it to do. And that was the thing to me. I'm sitting here watching this thing come along going, okay, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, it went from a very reasonable, affordable price for the whole family to way expensive just for me. And I'm going, wow, this is crazy to think that this would benefit anybody. In the state of Oregon.
No. And then the marketplace in general, I'm paying three times what I did when I covered my entire family.
Mm-hmm.
Three times for just me.
Yep.
And I have the lowest level plan that I can get because of the, it's crazy. So yeah, I mean, how much is this actually going to cost? Do you think the quality is going to go up? No, not at all.
Well, here's the other part of it now. This seems like an end around the federal system because of Tina's obsession with Donald Trump, and everything has to be on her terms and not, you know, the federal level, because guess what? Donald Trump is president. And I sit here and go, okay, so let's see. So we're taking it out of the federal pot and we're going to put it into the Oregon pot.
Right. So people that are in the federal pot, a lot of people get subsidized depending on your income. A portion of your payment will be subsidized by the federal government. What happens to those people? What's the mechanism inside of Oregon to cover that? The existing customers that they want to move over. What if somebody doesn't want to move over? So there's a lot. I have a lot of questions about this.
Yep. And I just sit here and go, it's going to just make things worse and worse and worse and worse. It's ridiculous. I literally called about getting one of my kids a sports physical and was told a month down the road. I'm going, this is a 15 minute step in and look over and okay, good to go.
Take the vitals and you're good to go. You're healthy and you're breathing. And so you're a month out. By that point, the season's half over.
Yeah, what's the point at that point? I mean, that's then it's call around and find somebody that can do it much faster, but more money out of pocket.
And it's just going to be, it's already hard. People, like you said, a month to get in for something as routine as a sports physical, anything more than that, you're going to go in. And then you have to look at smaller hospitals. I mean, Salem's got isn't Salem Hospital, I think it's like the second biggest employer, mm-hmm. probably the state of Oregon, the school district and the state and the Salem Hospital. But it's already long lines and everything else to get in there. And it's not convenient. And this is not going to make it better. I just don't think this is a great idea at all. But it's going to go through. It'll happen.
Oh, yeah, because that's what they need. They need to control. It's the same reason that IP19 probably won't go anywhere, because our government needs 100% control over our lives here in Oregon. And they will do anything it takes to get it, including make you literally sit in a waiting room till you die.
Can you imagine? I mean, I've heard horror stories about going to emergency rooms where you can't get in. And of course, a lot of people who are in this country illegally use them as doctor's offices. Mm-hmm. And you think that's going to get better? No.
Well, and you know, people illegally, and then people that are on things like just basic, like Oregon Health Plan or on some of these subsidized insurance, they'll go whenever their kid stubs a toe. I mean, I know people that literally, my kid had a little fever for 24 hours. I'm taking him to the ER.
Are you kidding? I sliced my thumb open last night. I slapped some gauze on it with some antibacterial cream and had the mustache put some tape around it. I'm good to go.
Wood glue and
It hurt. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think it needs stitches. I guess we'll just have to see.
That's right.
But I wouldn't go to the emergency room for it.
Here's my finger. Put some wood glue on there and electric tape around it. We're good to go.
Super glue. But that's crazy to go in for stuff like that. And again, self-sufficiency, I learned last night, I'm really glad we have a basic, you know, first aid kit in the house, because it really came in handy.
Yeah, because and that's the thing. I just sit here and go, every time government meddles in healthcare, all of a sudden, because that's the thing, you can guarantee, like it said in there, it's you know, it's going to be catered for Oregonians, which means that I'm going to be able to go out and get as many as abortions as I want. I'm probably going to be able to take lactation classes and pregnancy tests. I am so excited for all of these new adventures I can take, simply because being catered for Oregonians, men, you know, they can do all the same things women can here. Hopefully they provide free menstrual pads for me, because gosh darn it, that's how great Oregon is. And especially if they take my health control.
Exactly. And again, it takes away the control, which should be a relationship between the consumer and the provider. And if they let it go across state lines, competition would make it be even better. But of course, we can't have that, because that's too, is that too capitalist? Is that what it is?
You just swore on Oregon radio.
It would make things more efficient, better coverage, better for the consumer. We can't have that.
No.
Surely we can't have that.
Capitalism is one of those banned words on Oregon radio, I think.
Well, then let's say it all. We're going to say it all the time. That's we'll fit it into every show. Anyway, yeah, this was a headline over at Oregon Capital Chronicle. There's links there as well. All right, that's it for us tomorrow. We're going to talk a little more politics tomorrow. We have got candidate for SD10, Angela Plowhead, visiting us tomorrow. So we will learn more about her campaign tomorrow. Have a great day. We'll see ya.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.